Gordon and David Buick, senior market commentator for Panmure Gordon. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Morning.
It's over now, isn't it, the interview, because it's taken so long for you to introduce everybody. Good morning, Zach.
I can't
morning,
speak Mike. All done.
Right, what's, well, I'll start off with David. What's on your mind this morning?
I think lots of things. I think the thing that I'd like to discuss, which Simon educated me with about half an hour before he left the office, was the recent unemployment data, unless you've already discussed it, in which case...
No, but we'd like to have your spin on it.
No, it's not my spin, it's his spin, but okay, it is like really, it. Really okay. Interesting. It was the vacancy situation that I was thoroughly amused by, and well, not amused, but interested by. Simon was suggesting it would be about 775,000 job vacancies, which I think is very encouraging, but there again, you've got... square peg in round hole.
Sorry, is this private sector or public sector? Is it HMRC,
combined.
DVLA, all these useful places, you know, it's call
combined.
Centres?
One of the interesting things, if you look at that, you would go, wow, there is the kind of demand that was going to drive up, you know, wage inflation. But then you've also got 1.7 million unemployed people. So one of the conclusions you have to draw is that there is a fair amount of
structure. A lot of people don't
want to work. Mismatch.
No, I wouldn't go there, actually. I think you could go there, but I don't think that would be my diagnosis. I'd suggest there's a mismatch of skills and where we've got the growth areas in construction, in IT and tech, you don't necessarily have the skill base associated with the unemployment.
Get those jobs filled.
IT and tech, are actually, you know, that's changing all the time. Isn't that actually very difficult to keep in touch with IT, you know, the latest programs and software and, you know, the exams?
Yeah, but you've got to remember, and Simon's much more this generation than I'm afraid certainly I am and maybe you are, is that technology now in schools is a big issue. I mean, it's a big thing. And so people, I think, come out of school now far more aware of where the jobs in technology are or where they want to go for their further education. Yep. The trouble is, I don't know, Simon's the man, there are not enough of them.
Well, the problem is we're still teaching kids about Plantagenet Kings when we're not teaching them coding.
I was going to say that, yes.
Yeah. Exactly right. No, that's my point.
And financial literacy. Those are two things that they are guaranteed to need going forward. Knowing who succeeded Henry VII is probably of less interest.
No, importance. I'm not certain it's less interesting.
It's a Tudor king as well. He knows how terrible I am about history.
Look, Jeff, we're getting into a history
lesson. But you were there
now,
at the time.
Of course. So I can tell you all about it. I'm the only person around here who's gnawed a chicken off the bone. Listen, can we move on? Mike, and I would like to bring you in on this, and Simon as well. A 15% rally of the FTSE since the 11th of February. We all got that fall right. This one here probably got it right more quickly than most. We are all looking like idiots now because we've wiped out the deficit for the year. We are now in positive territory. The United States of America, I think I'm right in saying, the S&P and the Dow within 2% of the all-time high of May of last year. We've looked down the vortex of despair in Japan. Japan as well, China. Not too clever in Japan. We've set oil down at $27 a barrel, back up to 40. We've had the estimate for growth declining in most parts of the world. We've had against that the possibility that earnings might not be absolutely superb. And I just got yesterday, I mean, okay, Goldman got through and it went up 2.3%, but didn't like IBM much. Didn't like one or two other things too much. Now, we've got another 2 weeks of this. Now, is this a question of... there's more momentum out there? Because I think one of the things that I missed with the market is there were significantly more shorts out there in a lot of areas like banks and retail particularly. Do we go forward from here or do we plateau from May until September?
Yeah, but if you're short of RBS shares, which, you know, some one or two people might be, I mean...
You've had quite a big bounce.
You've had a big bounce there, and you're covering your short, but you're probably thinking as you're losing money hand over fist, how am I losing money on being short of a loss-making bank? And it's probably the same with many other areas and sectors. You're thinking either that you're short of house builders at the top, and they still, you know, they keep going up. The valuations are all over the place. The valuations and the prices have no connect whatsoever. And I think it's a bit like what I was reading this morning, there was somebody saying, well, the bond market and the equity market seem to be totally at odds with each other. Which one's wrong? You know, and it's probably equities, because bonds are, you know...
But there again, we're back again, Zach, if I may say so, to the weight of money, which we can't ignore. Because from what I've seen in the last 2 weeks, we are seeing Charles Atlas at work. holding the equity market up on his shoulders for no real reason. Simon, you've got views on this.
I mean, are they at odds with each other, the equity market and the bond market? Maybe in the traditional sense they're at odds with each other. I would say they're complementing each other quite perfectly now. The reason I say that is that we talked in the first session about negative yields on a huge amount of not just the government bond market, but increasingly in the corporate bond market. And therefore, even in a world where earnings growth in the US in this quarter will be anemic, maybe even flat, and in the UK, EBITDA has been flat for 4.5 years, if you exclude the resources sector, given the absence of earnings growth, are you prepared to pay a premium in equities for near zero growth? Because actually your counterfactual is negative in the bond market, so it's just a flow of funds. In terms of where we go from here, I certainly don't think we flatline between now and September. I mean, we are in a very pro-cyclical phase of markets, and we won't need much downward momentum to start riding back down to.
Let me just come in here very quickly. Simon, I think, is right. Mike needs some input from here. Come early May, we haven't got much time.
No.
Come early May, we see the banks reporting, and that's where I may see that we may go back to thinking perhaps all is not well.
Well, I'm just thinking that, yes, you can have low risk-free rates. It argues that your discount rate for cash, equity cash flows goes down, therefore the fair value multiple of equities goes up, except the trouble is you've got to ask yourself the question, well, why are yields so low? Why is monetary policy where it is? And that's because, again, growth is low. So what I think you see is almost a step shift, and an upward shift in the multiple. But that's a one-off, to an extent, it's a runoff re-rating. And of course, at very high multiple levels, as we've seen in, you know, say, the FANGs in the US, the market becomes very, very sensitive to any kind of earnings disappointment. So you tend to have these sudden gaps or air pockets, your sudden volatility of volatility that makes the market have quite a brittle feel to it. And ultimately, you know, long bond yields at 2% max isn't consistent with a 2% inflation target. It can't, you know, once you strip out GDP deflator, it implies that zero real growth. And that has social, economic, and political consequences. And rather than looking for an economic cardiac arrest, as we saw with Lehman's, I think the market, unfortunately, is relatively insensitive to this sort of like gradual corrosive secular stagnation, which actually does seem to be playing out at the moment.
It's time to quadruple child benefits around the world and encourage an increase in fertility rates.
I've got four children, so I'll work on that one, okay?
Right. Work on that personally. I'm pleased to hear it.
Glad you've got the energy, dear boy.
I have, actually. Especially. I'll stop that.
We're going to get into deep water here, aren't we?
Yes, I was trying to be non-controversial. I nearly said something wrong.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, we couldn't discuss the eight US former US Treasury secretaries wanting us to stay in the EU. It's just we ran out of time. It's such a shame.
Well done, Craig Oliver, number 10. Rallied the troops, even though it was entirely independent.
Eight of them.
Fabulous,
like,
PR.
Fabulous. Like having all the Doctor Who's in one place.
Absolutely.
I mean, amazing. So, David Buick, senior market commentator, Panmure Gordon, Simon French, chief economist at Panmure Gordon, and Mike Ingram, market strategist, or strategist, in fact, only a strategist at
BG. Oh, my card says market strategist.
Does it?
Whatever. It's not the worst I've been called.
I've got strategist.
You know, you didn't even look at the thing.
Well, yeah, but it went wrong at the end. I'm sorry.
Very
but
good.
Anyway, we'll be back after the break.